Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Good morning and welcome to this service of remembrance. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I invite those who are able to stand for the laying of the wreaths. Let us worship God, hymn 36, God is our refuge and our strength. Let us pray. God of love, you are our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in a time of trouble. On this day, when we gather to honour the memory of those who died in the service of others, we remember that you gave Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and that through him you seek to lead us in the paths of peace. God of mercy, your faithfulness endures through all generations. We confess that in our heart we keep alive the passions and pride that lead to hatred and to war. We are quick to take offense and slow to forgive. We are hasty in passing judgment and intolerant of those whose opinions differ from our own. We take for granted the freedom that was won for us and fail to learn the lessons that history has to teach us. God of glory, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Forgive us our sins. Heal our divisions. And laying aside all selfish and unworthy motives, let us serve you without counting the cost, and give our all in the cause of a better and more peaceful world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who unites us as the one people, and who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There are just two intimations that I want to draw to your attention this morning. Firstly, there'll be a retiro collection for Erskine today. And secondly, articles for the winter edition of The Parishioner, which covers the months of December, January and February, should be submitted by the close of today. Articles can be left in the McMichael Chapel or emailed to the address on the intimation sheet. It would be good if all the groups and organisations connected to the church were to submit something for the winter edition of The Parishioner. Once again, welcome to you all. It is good to see you, and welcome to our own Boys Brigade company, all looking very smart indeed. It's great to have you with us here on this Remembrance Sunday. Today, we remember and honour those in the armed forces who fought for their country so that we can live in freedom. Thinking of them, I've got three words in my mind that begin with C. I wonder if any of you can read my mind. Three words that begin with C that tell us something about those who went off to war. Any guesses? Courageous, well done. We'll come to that because that ties in with the second word. Well done, Nan. Anything else? Compassion. Compassion, well done, Gordon. Compassion.
Courage.
Courage. Great courage. What about the very first word, though? They responded to the
call.
The call. Didn't they? The call of king and country. And not long after the first war started, posters like this began to appear in magazines and around the country. And this poster has on it the words, "Your country needs you." And so there was the call. Each one who fought responded to the call to take up arms and fight. War is never good, but sometimes it is necessary to fight against that which is blatantly wrong. There is the call. But there's something else that begins with C. There's commitment. Those who fought had to commit to see the job through and not give up at the first sign of difficulty. Such commitment calls for courage. They were courageous, and what commitment they showed. The third word, beginning with C, is the word cost. War is very costly. In the course of two world wars and in many conflicts since, many people were injured and many, many people lost their lives. We remember and honour them today as we wear our poppies and lay our wreaths. Call, commitment, cost. These words are relevant as we think of those in the armed forces, but they are also relevant for us today as we seek to be God's people. Think of that first word, call. Each one of us is called by Jesus Christ to follow him. And inherent in that call is the call to love God and to love other people. Sometimes the call requires us to take a stand against that which is wrong. It might be bullying in the playground, unkindness at home, or improper conduct in our place of work. The call to follow. And what about that word commitment? When Jesus calls, he calls us to give our all, to be totally committed to him and his cause. We don't only follow when life is going well. We stick with Jesus in good and bad, and we do not give up. And there is that third word, cost. It is costly to follow Jesus. The first followers left their families and their friends and their homes behind. And it can cost us. It is not popular to be a follower of Jesus today. And some may mock us. And in many parts of the world today, it is still illegal to be a follower of Jesus. And because of that, many still suffer and die because they take a stand with Jesus Christ. And so today, as we remember those who responded to the call of their country with total commitment, with many being willing to pay the ultimate cost. Let their example encourage us to respond to Jesus' call to follow him with total commitment and being willing to pay the cost for the sake of a better and more peaceful world. Amen. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, hymn 159.
Thank you.
the Word of God, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 9, page 94 in the Pew Bible. John 15, beginning at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Dwell in my love. If you heed my commands, you will dwell in my love, as I have heeded my Father's commands and dwell in his love. I have spoken thus to you, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, that someone should lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is about. I have called you friends because I have disclosed to you everything that I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go on and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father may give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my commandment to you. Love one another. Amen. And thanks be to God. We sing the hymn 704, I vow to thee, my country.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing if you're able. Otherwise, please do be seated. After I have said the words, we will remember them. You are invited to respond. We will remember them. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Please be seated. Let us pray. We pray for the King and the Royal House, our country and Commonwealth, and for the leaders of the nations, that you will guide them in the ways of freedom and of truth. We pray for those who bear arms on behalf of the nation, on land, at sea, and in the air, that they be given discipline and discernment, courage and compassion, and serve the cause of peace to the honour of your name. We pray for our friends and for our enemies, that you will turn the hearts of all to kindness and to friendship. We pray for the wounded and the captive, the grieving, and all who suffered or still suffer from war, that in their tribulation they may know your love and be strengthened by it. God of hope, hear us as we pray for those who strive for peace and all who fight for justice. And help us who today remember the cost of war to work for a better tomorrow and a world in which all will walk together in your paths. And now, rejoicing in the communion of saints, we give thanks for those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. And we remember those whom we ourselves have known and whose memory we treasure. May the example of their devotion inspire us, that we may be taught to live by those who learn to die. And at the last, grant that we, being faithful till death, may receive with them the crown of life that never fades. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn 740. 740, we omit verses 4 and 6. Omit verses 4 and 6 of this great hymn, hymn 740, for all the saints who from their labours rest. It was Remembrance Sunday on a Royal Air Force station. After the service, the chaplain joined his colleagues in the mess for a pre-lunch drink. "Good sermon, Padre," said the commanding officer. "But how is it that you got through the whole thing without any mention of the war?" "I wasn't born during the war, sir," was the Padre's answer. "How could I talk about it if I wasn't there?" The commanding officer replied, "You're going to have a bit of trouble at Christmas then, aren't you?" Of course, this joke makes a very serious point. As Christians, none of us actually experienced the events of the first Christmas, or indeed any part of Jesus' life. And yet we remember. We literally put back together those events, week after week and year after year. Because it is the remembered stories about Jesus that create and form the Christian community. The same could be said about Remembrance Sunday. There is now no one alive who experienced life in the trenches in the First World War. But we remember those people and their stories and experiences, both in honour of their memory and because the very act of remembering them shapes our community and helps us to think about the people we want to be and the world that we want to live in. When I was speaking at the High School Stirling Service of Remembrance on Friday afternoon, and what a dignified service it was. The pupils who took part were excellent. A great credit to the school, to their parents, and to this country. When I spoke, I mentioned one of my predecessors, the Reverend Edward Jones, who was minister here from 1913 until 1939. I was going to say that's a very long ministry, but that's the length of time I've been here. During World War I, Edward Jones served as a private and saw active service. He was badly wounded by shrapnel, but after a lengthy spell in hospital, he was able to return to the Western Front. When the war ended, he resumed his duties here, and I heard about him from a couple of the older members of the congregation when I came in 1998. But why did I mention Edward Jones on Friday? And why do I mention him again today? It is because directly opposite the pulpit, there is the memorial with the names of those who died in the Great War. Mr. Jones would have known many of them, and he would have ministered to their families in the years between the two world wars. What must he have thought, and how must he have felt, as Sunday by Sunday, He preached from the pulpit that preceded this one and saw before him the names of men who went from this church and parish and did not come home. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends." Jesus was speaking about the love he would show when, for the sake of the world, he would die on the cross. But I think we can derive from Jesus' words something of the love that existed in the hearts of those who, for king and country, were willing to go and make the ultimate sacrifice in two world wars. And we can say the same of those who have fought in the many conflicts since and who fight today. Some years ago, there was a television advert that tried to sell a certain sort of insurance by telling us that security is the most basic human instinct. And to illustrate this, the advert featured the Great Wall of China, built to mark out territory, built to keep others, those perceived to be a threat, at a distance. But is it really the case that security is our most basic human instinct? Isn't that wall and any other wall built for a similar purpose a sign of our failure to love one another as Jesus has commanded us to do? And is our failure to love one another not what gives rise to war and conflict? And at what cost? Nicky Smith wrote these words: "In 2009, my world fell apart when I received the news that every military wife dreads. My husband, Corporal Lee Scott, had been killed in Afghanistan. It was a horrific time. But one of the hardest parts was watching my two young children struggle to come to terms with the news that their daddy was dead." These words are applicable to so many families whose loved ones fell in battle. With love comes pain. That pain Jesus knew when, in love, he laid down his life for the world. It is said that when the gunfire stopped at the end of World War I, there was silence for the first time in a long time. But communities back home were silenced too. Not just by the silence of peace, but by the silence of loss and sorrow. For those who did not return to talk and joke to live and love. As we today remember, there is more than a tinge of sadness at the terrible loss of life in war and conflict. But there is also courage and commitment. The courage and commitment displayed by men and women whose memory we honour on this solemn day of remembrance, and from whom we can surely learn, as we seek to follow the one whose ways are ways of gentleness and whose paths are paths of peace. In the beginning of Mark's Gospel, we read about the calling of the first disciples. The gentle scenes of fishing and mending of nets come across as rather idyllic and tranquil. But Jesus was to call these same individuals into deep and raging waters. Knowing what lay ahead, Jesus did not build an army, but a community. He called, and today calls people to live and serve in a new and radical way. It will mean sacrifice, but not one that is about winning a war. It is one that brings peace and makes God's kingdom a reality here on earth. In such a world as this, a world where war rages in places like Ukraine, the Middle East, Syria and Yemen, where refugees flee and missiles are fired, and in which the rhetoric of hatred often drowns out the language of love, there is more than ever a need for people to focus on the love of Christ, to follow his example, and to be peacemakers. I believe that showing courage and being committed to such a cause is a fitting way to remember and honour those whose names we know and those whose names we do not know, who died in two world wars and in conflict since. There is sadness. There is courage and commitment. Finally, there is hope. It was Christopher Reeve who said, "Once you choose hope, anything is possible." It is a remarkable thing that as human beings, we have the capacity to find hope even in the darkest of times. And such hope can spur us on so that we do not lose heart or stop seeing the good in each other. The poppy, which many wear at this time, has its origin as a symbol of remembrance in the landscape of the First World War. It flourished in the soil churned up by the fighting and shelling. And today, the poppy represents not only the fragility of life, but that enduring spirit that will not give up the quest for peace. Greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Therein lies our hope today. Jesus died that we might live, and he has shown us that death is not the end, and love, not violence, will have the final word. Such is its power. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Following the final hymn, we will remain standing for the national anthem and then the benediction. But before that, hymn 715, Behold the Mountain of the Lord.
Thank you.
God grant to the living grace, to the Church, the King, and the Commonwealth, and all people, peace and harmony, and to us and all his servants life everlasting, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you all this day and forevermore.